Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gonna take it.
Legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, welcome into another episode, sort of an emergency episode of the Ryan and Goodman pod. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Bob Ryan, and we got a lot to talk about today, Bob, and it has nothing to do with the NBA playoffs. We could probably talk a couple of hours about the two topics that broke here on, what is today, Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday, yeah.
Today's Wednesday.
Track of days.
I've lost track since this morning because I got up. I dropped my wife's car off in Portsmouth, New Hampshire for an oil change, came back. And all hell broke loose, Bob. All hell broke loose. And it started, we'll start with the big NBA story, which is Danny Ainge basically retiring from his position with the Celtics. I'm not sure he's going to retire completely. We'll see.
We'll talk.
And the shocker, that wasn't the shocker. The shocker to me is that Brad Stevens is going to slide over from his seat as the head coach of the Boston Celtics into Danny Ainge's seat. Running everything, being the decision maker of sorts.
Oh yeah,
for the Celtics. Like, okay, let's try to make some sense of this, Bob. You listened to the press conference,
yep.
As did I. And number one, to me, was this a Brad Stevens decision? Do you think, or do you think this was a Wick Grauspeck decision to slide Brad Stevens over?
I'm not a conspiracy guy. I mean, if, gotcha. Really, and any ever, I want to believe it's Brad Stevens' decision. Although that does raise my number one question. It wasn't addressed, not in any way enough for my satisfaction during the press conference. Brad, are you done coaching forever? Do you want to coach? Well, you told us you love coaching, but you're now not going to coach. You're 44 years old, and so. Are you telling us now that right. You foresee that this is your executive path? This is your path? This is your way of staying connected to basketball for the rest of your functioning, you know, adult life? Or what? No coaching blood, you know, juice. I that wasn't addressed. And I just find it a curious move in that regard at this, you know, now plenty of room at 44. Plenty of room left, you know, down the road. But still, that was interesting. So to your question, I want to believe it was, but I don't think in those terms.
Here's my thing, and I am a conspiracy theorist. So let me say that right off the bat.
All right, good.
I just feel like, okay, here's my question. Like, all right, a big move had to be made. We knew that, right? So Danny Ainge is leaving. And if you're Wick Grauspeck, you got $30 million on the hook or thereabouts with Brad Stevens, right? You don't want to pay $30 million. You just don't. You got four more years. You just extended him a year ago. You gave him a five-year deal. So you don't want to pay him $30 million. So can you come to some sort of conclusion of like, all right, what can we figure out here? Brad's super smart guy. We know that. Super smart. If anybody can figure this transition out, it's Brad Stevens. And maybe it was one of those, well, listen, this isn't working. You know, we got to make a move here. And maybe it was just something where they both came to the conclusion of like, let's try this. Brad, we'll see if you like it, if you're good at it. If you're not, you'll go back into coaching in a year. And oh, by the way, we also won't have to pay the $28 million because we're going to move you into Danny's seat and get something for that money.
Yeah.
And if somebody hires Brad in a year, Bob, it's probably an offset where they won't have to pay him the remaining $20 million on his contract. I don't know.
That makes sense. I'll be honest. I hadn't even considered the money.
Yeah.
I never, for what, not in the this 3 hours or so that this thing has been news. It's all it has been, 3 hours since it's been news, four maybe for me, you know, when I first got wind of it all. Yeah. So that's a good point. And I'll admit that I hadn't even considered the money, the pragmatism. After all, Wick and Steve are businessmen. They're businessmen first and foremost.
Yes.
And okay.
Do you like all this?
That's a very plausible theory you have there. But that doesn't answer still the question that I have is, Brad, are you closing the door on coaching at age 44?
No way.
I can't.
No way.
I find that hard to believe.
No chance he's closing the door on coaching. Now, again, the interesting part, Bob, would be what if the Indiana Pacers in a week or two, you don't think somebody reached out to the Pacers before this happened? Because what if the Pacers in a week or so make a move with their head coach and decide, hey, we want to make a run at Brad Stevens? I don't think, again, I think he's locked in for at least a year in this position. I don't think he goes anywhere. So my guess is he wanted a change at this point because he felt like it was best for the organization. And I think Wick probably went to him and said, hey, listen, we want to make a move here. We want to try to figure something out. What can we do? And the other part, if you're Danny Ainge, I'm looking at it of, all right, you're retiring. You want to keep your son, Austin, employed. What better way than to be a proponent of Brad Stevens sliding into his seat? And Brad has already said on the press conference, he said, listen, I'm keeping Mike Zarin. I'm keeping Austin Ainge. I'm keeping Dave Lewin. I'm keeping everybody.
He mentioned Austin's name. I took note of that very carefully. He mentioned his name in his list, laundry list of people, but he got it in that specific category of, you know, a lot of machinations. I mean, I'm this is why I wouldn't be any good at all this, because I just go, screw it, just let me know when you arrive at the conclusion and we'll talk about it. But no, there's questions for both people. All right, but let's start. We'll stick with Brad. I think we agree that it's implausible to think that 44-year-old Brad Stevens will not be coaching somewhere down the road. That's just hard for me to believe. Just for the record, Red was 48 and a different time in world, less stressed world. He had all the responsibility because they had no assistant coaches, no traveling secretary, you know, no, nothing. It was, he did everything. That's what you did in those days. And he gave it up at 48. People don't realize that. People do not, because he always looked indeterminate middle age. He looked the same at 68 as he did at 38. And that's the gospel truth.
It's amazing.
He looked the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's but people don't know that. Red Auerbach was 48. Danny Ainge is 44. I mean, Brad Stevens is 44, and it's hard for me to believe that. All right, that I think we agree on that. So, how long he's going to be this boss of the Celtics is not going to be a real long term. Right,
I want to know. I want to get to it. What did you think of it? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Let's start with the Brad Stevens, because Danny Ainge retiring is Danny Ainge retiring. You can like it. You cannot like it. He's 62 years old.
And he had
the heart attack.
Removed from a heart attack.
Right.
Cited that, admitted that that had a lot to do with his thinking from the minute he had it. So he answered that question very, you know.
Clearly.
Without dodging it or any.
Yeah, Brad danced around a couple things a little bit. But in a way, Brad can, where he never really looks like.
I have no problem with the idea that I think Brad Stevens can do this job. But I'm dying to find out, you know, who's going to succeed him.
And well, that's the biggest question because, you know, listen, I think we all can agree that this team needed a change somewhere and it probably needed a new voice. You know, I felt like, again, it had run its course. And Brad almost said that. He almost said in the press conference, hey, you know what? Sometimes change is good. You know, a different, fresh perspective is good.
Well, I think we've all come to understand that. Right. Something that was not part of the dialogue even 15, 20 years ago, but it is now. It's a permanent part of all sports dialogue. We have Exhibit A in Philadelphia. I'll say it again. I said it 2 weeks ago. I said it. You had a team that needed a new voice, and you had a coach that needed a new set of ears. And they benevolently have found each other at the at a high level.
Yep.
And it's a wonderful, for the time being, for the, it's a wonderful match, Doc and Philly. It's working out, you know. It's working out. We won't get into whether Embiid, you know, the whole Embiid thing. That's another story. But the point is, the partnership has worked this year. It was a perfect match. And I think, you know, and Dan and Brad's case was 8 years. All we wondered, why isn't why? The question was never answered. It couldn't have been this year. We identified problems, but why were they, did they have 39 double digit deficits with a team this talented? Why? It was not defensible. There's no valid reason for that to have happened. And you know, it was circling back to the coach.
Yeah. I mean, again, I trust Brad. I think he's so smart. I think he'll figure this out. I just don't know if he's invested in this long-term. I don't think he can know that answer right now.
Now, he did profess allegiance to the flag of the leprechaun flag.
Over and over.
You know, as Doc Rivers did in the 11th hour of his tenure as Celtic coach, if you recall.
Yeah.
And we both love Doc. I'm a Doc sycophant, I admit completely. Consider him to be a good acquaintance, if not necessarily a friend. That's another level of you know, relationship. Yeah. But I consider him a good acquaintance. I'm very invested in Doc's career. He professed allegiance to the leprechaun too, and then you know, he skipped out not long thereafter. We'll take that for what it's worth. But he did he did very much proclaim himself to be a Celtic. You know, and have to care about the welfare of the Celtics, allegiance to his bosses. Said it was a big kissy face thing all around. You know, Rick and Steve love Danny and Brad. Brad loves Danny. Danny
all
loves
good Brad. People.
Yeah, Danny loves Rick and Steve. I mean, it was right. We heard we
the
got
love fest.
We got yeah, all that
complete love fest. And I do think they get along. Like, listen, nobody can walk away from Brad Stevens saying I don't like Brad Stevens. I've Sorry. Never heard of anybody doing it, ever. Now again. You could have your issues with him as a coach. Is he too nice? Does he let Marcus Smart and anybody shoot too many threes? Like, I have some of those questions.
Yeah. Oh, you brought that up many times.
And I do feel like it's the best thing for Brad in a way to get out of that seat, because I think it was only going to get hotter and hotter next year. And I think it was best for him.
Now, the thing is, but he's got the responsibility. Yeah, let's face it. There is a roster issue.
Yes.
You know,
and it's not easy.
We agree there's only one remotely tradable component, and we're not sure how valuable he is in the eyes of other people.
Right. And, you know, Marcus Smart. Right.
Because you're not trading Brown and Tatum. That's ridiculous.
You're not now. Like, I felt like there was a chance, if everything else had stayed the same, that you might have had to look at trading Jaylen Brown for the right package. But you're not now. This was your major, major move. But, again, a new coach coming in, if you keep the roster the way it is, yes, you'll have a different voice, a different system, all of it. But frankly, again, I feel like the pieces of the best three players don't fit together great. So how do you tweak with that? I don't know. But let's get back to it. All right. So Brad Stevens as the GM, what is your first thought of, like, you know, he knows the team well, but I guess it is getting back to what we were talking about. Like, what do you do if you're Brad Stevens? What do you do?
I know. We've been talking about this, whether it was Danny or whoever was going to be.
Let's go coach. Let's go coach first before we go personally.
Number one, he said all the nice things about his staff.
Yeah.
God forbid, please don't hire anybody inside.
No, you can't. You can't hire anybody on this.
We just explained the Doc Rivers thing with Philly. We need somebody's out there. I saw a name out there. I didn't want to look at the whole list because it just made me ill. Some of this nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino, stop it with the list, all right? there's a name out there of a good basketball man and a good person, and I would like to – and that's Alvin Gentry.
Okay.
I like that name.
Yeah, Alvin's good. He's solid.
That's what I like.
Up. You know, names that have been thrown out there a little bit more, there's three of them, and then I'll give you the name that I would look at. But Lloyd Pierce – who it didn't work with in Atlanta. He butted heads with Trae Young. Okay.
Yeah.
So Lloyd Pierce, from what I hear, really well respected. It just didn't work out in Atlanta. Then you have Jason Kidd, who, I'm not a fan of that one at all. And then the third one, which I like better than all the others, is Chauncey Billups.
Interesting with Chauncey Billups. Yeah. I didn't realize he was that far advanced in the coaching idea that people would consider him serious.
Well, remember, he could have had the Cavs GM job, didn't take that, is now an assistant coach in the league, first year. The guy that I want them to go after, and it's so funny because I did not like it when he was hired at Michigan, is Juwan Howard. That was the one that I was like, no, we can't bring him over to college. Like we've seen this happen, and they all fail, and he's succeeded. He's been great.
I think that's very interesting, and I certainly would be very curious about that. Absolutely, he won me over. At Michigan.
You know what the problem is with Juwan Howard?
18 years of NBA experience. That's not going to be an issue about how to relate to NBA players. It was just the reverse that we were worried about. So we know we can handle that part. That's an interesting one. Yeah.
The issue with Juwan Howard, Bob, he's got one son on the team at Michigan and another on the way coming.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think he leaves, but you never know. I mean, it is the Boston Celtics, and he couldn't get an NBA head coaching job 3 years ago.
The sons, when we were talking earlier about Brad's move and staying in Boston, a family, you know, they're fixed. Those kids have grown up here now.
And he can see them more now. He can work his schedule around seeing his kids' games. Like this, listen, again, do I think, you know, they said it was a promotion for Brad. I don't believe it was a promotion. I'm not buying that.
No, I've heard that. I didn't even think of it in those terms. It's another job of equal, you know, whatever it is, but
it's different. It's different.
Parallel, right. What coach is important than the GM. No, I'm not worried about that. That's semantics to me. I don't care.
Right.
You know, I don't care. Really. No. Let's talk about Danny in a second now, in terms of 62 years old.
Yep.
I can't believe he mentioned 44 years continuously involved with the league, which includes broadcasting.
Yep.
It's in his blood. It's his entire been part of his entire adult life. I just had a hard time believing that he won't be the next Jerry West. That in 10 years,
I agree.
And that in the next 10 years, at age 72, he'll be on someone's payroll.
Utah Jazz, Bob. I say Utah Jazz. I say he goes out to Utah, plays a lot of golf, and is a consultant like Jerry West. And Jerry West makes like crazy money to like answer, you know, 10 phone calls from the Clippers.
My life's dream, Jeff, is to be a consultant.
You are right here. You're making a ton of money.
A high paid consultant. That's my dream. And time's running out. But I think Danny can fulfill that for somebody down the road. Definitely. It's hard for me to believe he'll totally divorce himself from the sport that's been, you know, although, you know it, because being one of the great all around athletes we've ever known, frankly, you know, was a Major League Baseball player. Who knows? Hey, maybe he'll go to Jerry Krause route and become a baseball scout.
No, I think he'll try to be a, I think we talked about this. He'll try to be a, what's the name of the sport? The pickleball. I think he's good at pickleball. Maybe he'll try to be a professional pickleball player.
God. He
can do it.
This is a man who once played in two state high school best all-star games in the same
seniors tour golf. Seniors tour for golf.
I know. And baseball in the afternoon, basketball at night. And he was a highly recruited wide receiver by every school west of the Rockies.
Amazing.
Too much to grasp.
He looked like he was going to get a little emotional at a point today, didn't he?
He's been there 18 years.
Yeah.
You know, and not to mention that, you know, he started out as a Celtic. He's a Celtic more than he's a son or a trailblazer.
Totally.
No, I think there's no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean, you know, our mutual agreed upon prediction that he'll wind up being on someone's payroll in due time.
Right.
You know? This episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn. Today, many small business owners are busier than ever. Because they are focused on managing and growing their business, they can't always spend the time that they wish on recruiting. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs has made things easier than ever for you to find and hire the best candidates for free. Get started by posting your job for free on LinkedIn's network of 740 million professionals. Fill out targeted screen questions to get your role in front of the most qualified candidates with experience, skills, and motivation that you need. Then use simple tools to filter and prioritize the top candidates that you wish to interview, and it is that easy. LinkedIn Jobs will help you hire the right person for your role, and your first job post is absolutely free. LinkedIn.com/scribe. Again, that is LinkedIn.com/scribe to post your first job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, assess the tenure, 18 years.
I mean, listen, he made him competitive in most of them. When we thought they were done at a point, he had some help from his good friend, Kevin McHale, to get him back on track there and get the last banner. But and after that, he found a way, right? I mean, found a way. Brad Stevens, I thought, did a great job the first, 5-6 years. So
there's a lot of teams that would be happy to have a feather in the cap that they went to the conference finals 3 times.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. But
I'm a Danny Ainge fan. I am. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I've developed a pretty good relationship with him over the last 15 years.
I can say it. I was so pleased to know he remembered that we didn't know it was going to happen at the day, that specific day, the day he was activated as a Celtic, and after he had gotten extricated from the Blue Jays, and they had won they didn't win the trial. They had a settlement with the Blue Jays after losing the trial. Anyway, we had lunch down the street at Conway Street, and then later in the afternoon, he was activated, and he got into game that night. I remember they kicked somebody's ass that night, and he got in some garbage time. Anyway, Danny Ainge, it's amazing. It's a wonderful career. I think it's been a success. And you think that they had a chance to win 3, definite. 2009, KG got hurt.
Right.
Period. That was the end of that. And then in 2010, it's one of my recurring nightmares. They're up 3. And 3 possessions totaling 94 seconds of the fourth quarter, they went down 6, and Derek Fisher hit him with a 3 to start it. And that's that's when Perkins didn't play game 7, and Rasheed Wallace, they needed 1 game out of that. I won't say it.
Didn't get him.
Fellow, didn't get it. And he didn't get it.
Nope.
They could have won 3 easily. Easily.
Yeah, I mean, definitely 2. I thought 2 was realistic.
Yeah, there.
Should have had a second. Should have had a second out of those 2. But yeah, I know a lot of people will hammer Danny.
They already, they were. And
throughout, at one point it was holding on to your picks too long, some of the trades. Listen, no GM hits on, if you hit on 50% of your draft picks, you're doing great. You're doing great. And what I will say is Danny Ainge, when I was out of college games, nobody was out there more 5, 6, 10 years ago than Danny Ainge watching. Now, I think that has certainly fallen off over the last 4 or 5 years. And you can't blame him, especially 2 years ago with a heart attack. Why have this stress? You want to see your grandkids grow up.
Yeah.
He's got a large family.
That's understandable. And not to mention, but internationally, he was a fixture.
Yep.
People knew. No, I used to cite that example of why, you can't just sit in the office. The difference between Danny Ainge and Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson sat in the easy chair.
Yep.
And
all right, let's get on. We'll spend a few minutes here. I know we both have to go in a few, but let's hit the second topic of the day.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Under the heading of it had to happen sooner or later.
That's right.
Now I'm throwing the ball in your court now. That's a little tapping serve over to your court.
Well, I'll tell you what, I texted you earlier and I said we were going to do the podcast about 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
10:30, right?
Yeah.
10:30.
Yeah.
We're recording now at 3:30. And I said, Bob, we might have to wait on this one because I think Coach K is going to retire. And so he is. It's still not out officially. I probably will be by the time this is released, but he's going to coach this final year. And going to retire. He's 74 years old, so he'll be 75 when he retires. And as you said, it's not a shock, but I think the timing is a little bit different from like Roy Williams, who just went out at the end of the year and said, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Coach K goes down as the all-time winningest coach in NCAA men's Division I history. 5 national titles, one of the greatest ever to do it. But I think, again, I think for a lot of these guys that are getting older now, Bob, Boeheim, Kay, Roy, with name, image, likeness coming in, and with the insanity of the transfers these days, it has sped up the process. I think Kay would have maybe taken it year by year and said, let me see how I feel after next year, and not made a decision. But I think this got him to the point where, like, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to be 75. I don't want to deal with all this BS. So I'm out.
Well, we talked about this when Roy retired, that yep. This is not going to be, this is the beginning of a,
that's right.
So this of the old guys. You completely understand it. I mean, I know how aggravated and annoyed I am as a fan and what this is doing to the landscape of college basketball. I cannot begin to imagine what it does to somebody like this. Although, well, it, and assessing the career, you can't exaggerate. You can't exaggerate it. And what I love most about what Coach K does as a coach, you know, forget about personality, and I like him, but you know, I know he can be a little imperial.
Ornery. Yeah, he'd be a little ornery.
Imperial. Yeah, I like that word. There's no such thing as a Coach K style. Coach K is a basketball coach. And I remember when I first met him myself, wasn't until 86, when they beat Kansas. Yeah. In a preseason game in Madison Square Garden, a fantastic game for the month of December. Well played. And I met him and talked to him, and we got talking about positions and positionless stuff. And then he came up, this not to me, but I learned he had come up with this phrase about the hothouse flower thing. It takes the shape of the vessel. You don't try to cram the square peg in the round hole theory. Right. You here's what I got. And think about the kind of teams that he won with. And
he's adapted
players, low post players, mid rise players. Built teams around point guards. Built teams around forwards. Built teams around centers. Cherokee Parks. Don't forget. You know, I mean, guys.
Yep.
That's what basketball coaching should be. Totally. It's not a system. It's not my system. It's you teach basketball. He was the exhibit A of that.
Yep.
And that's what I remember most about him.
No, he's done a great job adapting, not only in his style of play, but also being able to connect to kids. But as you get older, like, imagine at 74 having to talk to high school kids all the time right now and recruit them. Like, doesn't it become at a point where you're just like, I can't do this anymore?
Now, is he, I'm asking, you might have no, is he only a closer now, maybe, and he isn't even, I don't know.
I mean, like, he's out there all of July. I mean, he's out
there. Like, right. I'm asking.
We're going to be out. I'm going to go out to – there's two weekends in June. There's three weekends in July. My guess is Kay's going to be out at all of them, sitting there watching these kids, evaluating these kids in a gym when he should be – you know, they caught up – somebody caught up with Roy Williams today and got his reaction on Coach K. You know where Roy was?
Yep.
Where was Roy?
Some camp.
No, golf course. Golf course.
Oh, he was on a golf course. Okay. Great. Yeah, he was doing what he
– Exactly. Exactly.
That's the idea. Yeah.
Correct. So, like, I hope Kay, again, retired at the right – you know, to me, you listen, if you want to keep doing it, then keep doing it. Health provided. Like, keep going if you want to. But I just know myself, and when I'm 70 years old, I'm not going to want to work every single day. And he doesn't. Like – My daughter and I we went by Carolina about a week or so ago, and she was in Cameron, and I don't think Kay was there that day. Like, I don't think he came in. He doesn't come in every day, but you know, again, I feel like the time is right for Kay, for Roy, for Boeheim. Now, the crazy part, Bob, is John Shire is going to be the next head coach, the former player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know,
you wondered all along in both cases of Carolina, and then whether it would be in the family and who in the family. There's
of course it was going to be the family.
There were so many.
The timing of the Brad Stevens and the K thing was kind of crazy, because a lot of people felt like Brad would be the next head coach at Duke.
Yeah, I know. Same. Think how far we've come from the days when they wouldn't hang a banner, Abdul Abdelnaby, because he hadn't graduated.
Right, right.
To where he's winning national championships with one and done. You know, period.
Does he go down as the greatest, or is John Wooden still the greatest?
Parallel. Look, I think his achievement of getting to those final fours, 9, 10, however, you, and in the this era.
Yeah.
And winning five is every bit as good as John Wooden winning his 10 in a world where you started off, you played four games.
Right.
You started off in the regional.
A lot different.
At home, you know, in LA or in the West Coast. Yep. And then you know, you win two games, you're in the Final Four. That's what it was when he started.
And only one team in each conference, correct? Was right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They didn't do that until 75. 76 was the first year of you know, more than one team out of conference. Up to through 1975, his final one, Wooden, you had to win the, you know, one team represented the, it was a 32-team tournament.
Yeah.
When I was at BC in the 60s, it was a 25-team tournament. Then it went 32. Then it went 40. When Larry Brown, and this, in 1980, it was 40. I know that. And then eventually we got to the 64 where it should be, and now we're at 68. But different world, a different circuit, different obstacles, different. It's every bit as good as achievement as what Wooden did. Absolutely.
Do you like the way Kay did it compared to Roy? Roy won't get a final run, right? He won't get a farewell tour. Do you like that for Kay?
I think he's got a secret really good ego. He'll enjoy.
I do too.
I do.
I'm with you. I mean, they all have egos.
Although last year was, yeah. It'd be nice if they win a few more games this year.
They're going to be good. They got a player named Paolo Banchero coming in. He's terrific. Like, you're going to absolutely love this kid. He's from Seattle, and he's an absolute killer. So Kay knows. I think he wants to go out the right way too, and I think he secretly knows he's got a team capable of going to a Final Four this year.
In terms of a basketball fan connection, I go back to seeing him play. Of course, BC played them twice when I was at BC. Really? We beat them in the 1969 NIT, doing something that was very difficult to do, which was come from behind against an incredibly efficient, methodical Army team. You got behind against those night teams, and we were in trouble. We were like seven down, and that's like being down 20 to anybody else, and we came back and beat them. But he was the starting guard, on that team. But so I go back to that. But I got know him a little bit, and I don't think there was anybody in the world that was better suited to do what he did, to take over the Olympic team and be able to relate to those pros.
That's right.
And with the credibility that he did bring, and oh, how beneficial was that move for his later
recruiting?
By the way,
we got into it. Kay and I got into it a little bit in July in Vegas, because I had gone on TV when I was at ESPN multiple times and said, you know, it was a huge recruiting advantage for him to be coaching the Olympic team. So he said something to me in Vegas. I was going back maybe 6-7 years ago. And we had a nice conversation, Robert, a nice conversation in which I said, Hey, Mike, I cover recruiting too. I know some of the, first of all, Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow, Tyus Jones all came out of that USA Olympic program. I know that Austin Rivers had a lengthy conversation with Mike Krzyzewski when he was coming up as a young player through the USA basketball system. You know, Alex Murphy of the Murphys that are from around here was brought to meet Kevin Durant when he was being recruited by Duke, where he ended up going to start his college career. He went over and watched the national team and met Kevin Durant. There were a lot of advantages that Mike Krzyzewski had. And I told him, Bob, what I told him is, you know what? You earned it. Don't deny it. You earned that platform based on what you have done. Take advantage of it. Anybody else would, but don't act like it doesn't exist.
When he first took over the team, he had to preside over a low point in Tokyo in 06, losing to Greece.
That's right.
Of all the losses.
Yeah.
You know, they got the ass kicked by Puerto Rico they're us. Yeah, okay. But losing to Greece, that's how we had to dig ourselves out of the hole then. But he certainly did a great job with that team. And it's one of the most great coaching legacies in all of American sport, period.
No question. All right, we're going to wrap. But we had to have a quick reaction here to the day of news, because two absolute bombshells, huge for basketball in both regards. And we'll talk playoffs next week. Trust me, we'll get back to playoffs next week. And we can also talk about the future of the Boston Celtics. There you have it. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, here on the Ryan and Goodman pod. We'll see you next week.